good enough for me. Hallelujah.
Amen. I think there's two words that sum up that song, because the devil won't go near it. Boo, devil. Boo, devil. Amen. Hallelujah. We're so thankful that the Word of God is ever true. It's changing me, it's changing you. It gives us strength to help us cope. What kind of words does it give you? Boo, devil. Amen. It's the holy words, long preserved in our heart. Amen. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound.
Appreciate the music.
Thank you.
Amen.
It's just a blessing to hear people that use their gifts.
Amen.
For God, you know,
amen.
That's a blessing altogether.
Amen.
You know, we have a piano over there and in New Mexico that just sits blank because nobody has the gift
to play it right now, but we're just praying. God,
amen.
Sure. I'll find somebody that'll come to our church and start playing it.
Amen. Amen. But,
amen.
But you have a lot of people that really know how to use instruments here.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Yes.
Amen. Let's go before the Lord in prayer before we get into the message.
Amen. Our dear and precious Lord and Heavenly Father, Lord, I come before you, Lord Jesus. I'm grateful, Lord Jesus, that you've given me the opportunity to speak to your bride once again, Lord God.
And Lord Jesus, we know, Lord God, that these are the precious ones that you shed your blood for, Lord God. And we know, Lord Jesus, that each and every one, Lord God, they're hungering and thirsting to hear from you. So if you take me aside, Lord God, and just use the thoughts that I might have, Lord God, the
thinking I might do, Lord Jesus,
use it to minister to your people this afternoon, Lord God, as we come humbly, Lord God, thinking of you, Lord Jesus, thinking and wanting to mention, Lord God, that we're so grateful, Lord God, for all your blessings. And pray, O Lord Jesus, you touch each and every one that's in need, Lord God, and in every aspect, Lord God, that we know, Lord Jesus, you paid for it all at Calvary. And we come, Lord, grateful to hear from you in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want to send greetings from New Mexico. Brother Manuel asked me to minister this last Sunday over there, and I said, I can't. I'm on my way to Georgia. I said, but nevertheless, I said, but you'll be praying for me because they asked me to minister. So he said, I will. I'll be praying for you, and we'll handle it, because he was going to be going to Arizona to another service. So I think he's going to be coming here, Brother Chris. Yeah, he went to go for minister for Brother Chris. And so let's go to the Word now. Let's turn in St. Luke, the 24th verse, 24th chapter, the 13th verse. And this is the road to Emmaus. Everybody kind of remembers that that portion of Scripture. And I want to talk a little bit about this portion of Scripture. Amen. Amen. And behold, two men went that same day unto a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem 70 furlongs. And I think I looked that up on Google, and it said about 7 miles, but Brother Brown did say it was about 6 miles. And they talked together. Talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Right. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one with another, and as ye walk and are sad? And the one them whose name was Cleopas answered and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen visions of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went unto the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. And he said unto them, O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village wherein they went. And he made as if though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is now towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in and tarried with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened unto us the scriptures? And they rose up that same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together, and that they were together. And then when they were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done and the way how he was known unto them in the breaking of the bread. Amen. Let's bow our heads once again. Our dear Lord Jesus, we're so grateful, Lord God, for your word. And Lord Jesus, we pray, O Lord God, you just bless each and every one of us as we come to hear from you. You can be seated. Amen. So now, talking about Emmaus here. You know, the Bible does speak about Cleophas, but who was the other guy? And if you pay attention a little bit, you might notice this other person, he has appeared to Simon. Well, he hadn't appeared to Simon Peter yet, so it wasn't that Simon. So you might say that the second person that was on his way to Emmaus might have been a guy named Simon. And he says, maybe one of them was testifying, says, he appeared to him, you know, appeared to Simon. Who they're the two that came from Emmaus. But then you start noticing there's other scriptures that are in there that kind of seem strange. The guy named Cleophas. Where do you see the name Cleophas in the Bible in other places? You know, the Catholics have a saying, because they emphasize a lot on the cross and the death of Jesus on the cross and all this. And they tell you, the three Marys were standing right there by the cross. So you read about the three Marys. I'm going to go over there real quick. The three Marys, let's go on to John, St. John 19, and the 25th verse. It says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, of course, her name was Mary. Okay, his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene, the three Marys. So Mary had a sister who was married to a guy named Cleophas. Is this the same guy? Well, interestingly enough, they put an H in this one, and they didn't have an H in the other one, so a little bit different. But nevertheless, start looking at the scripture closely, and you start to notice there's other references, on verse 19, they said he was a prophet, mighty in deed and in word. So they recognize Jesus as a prophet. Well, Jesus was to come as the Son of Man, which means prophet. But yet, he was a prophet, and he came in that ministry. He called himself the Son of Man, just like Ezekiel was called the Son of Man all through the scriptures. But you start to notice that they come up with another reference when they say he was a prophet. Okay, mighty indeed. But then you find out that they also called him on verse 21. They said, but we trusted. On verse 21 it says, but we trusted that he had been the one that should redeem Israel. So the only one that could redeem Israel was the Messiah. So they trusted that he was the Messiah, really, is what they're saying. And you start to see that even though Jesus did come as in the ministry of a prophet, he also came as the Messiah. And he came as the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of David, He responded to the name, the Son of David, to blind Bartimaeus. So you can start seeing that, and many of the Jews called him Son of David, and he responded to them. But if that Syrophoenician woman called him the same name, and he didn't respond to her at all. But she responded to her when she said, Lord, my Lord. See, so there's a difference there. You'll notice in the scripture, things seem to be, if you look at the scriptures, you'll start to see that things tie in perfectly everywhere. Amen. Everywhere, if you'll notice. So what happens then? As we look at the scriptures and we look at what was going on the road to Emmaus there, we start to see that that these disciples that were walking on the road to Emmaus had firsthand news, details of what happened at the grave, details of what happened at the cross. So you see, what's written in Holy Script, when you read your scripture, you might see that at the Last Supper, there was all the disciples standing there. You see that Jesus did these certain things, but who was serving the meal? Where were the sisters? They're not mentioned. They weren't mentioned. You sisters have a big part to play in the economy of God. You say, well, where were all the sisters? Well, who cooked the food? You know, it doesn't say Peter went out there and was put on his apron and started cooking the food. It doesn't say the disciples are doing that. The sisters were doing that. It didn't mention them, but they were serving the food probably there. And you can start to see that, hey, it doesn't even mention who was behind the scenes. But there were people behind the scenes that the scripture doesn't tell you about. It doesn't tell you about Cleophas, nowhere, except on that road to Emmaus. But it doesn't tell you that he was there at the Last Supper. But he had firsthand news, because they were telling Jesus, sisters were early at the sepulcher. They saw the angels. They saw the vision. They saw these things. They were telling the details to Jesus of what came to pass right there at the gravesite. They told how Peter and John ran all the way to the grave. And they looked in and they said, well, they didn't see him. So they came back saying, well, with him they didn't see. So there are details that are spoken about on the road to Emmaus. You start to see that there are people behind the scenes that aren't written about, but were right there present and in the picture. They were in the picture. They were part of God's economy. And you got to realize that as we stand here as believers, we are part of God's economy. My words, things I say may not be ever be in Holy Script. But we're part of God's economy because we're part of the bride of Christ. And the scripture does talk about us because it says the bride has made herself ready. And we'll come to that place one day when we make ourselves ready and the Lord comes for us, we will fulfill a part of scripture. Amen. And as we stand here as message believers, you start to realize that you've got a part to play in the scripture. For a faith that was once delivered to the saints has to come to fruition. The ones that stand for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. How can we write a book of Acts? How can we write a book of Acts after our life? When they write about Lula, Georgia, when they write about Brother Wade, when they write about Brother Dale, when they write these things down, they're going to be able to say, hey, they produced a book of Acts behind their lives. I saw cancers healed. I saw healing. I saw the power of God move and raise up. I saw the power of God make that man a young man again. I saw this going on. I saw that going on. Why? Because they're the ones that take the word of God for their hour. Amen. These people stood there and they were in living out the very words that were going to be written in Holy Script. I was talking to the wife the other day, and I said, I read the book of James, and I don't like James. She said, why don't you like James? I said, well, James turned in Paul. He told him to go to the temple and give his, and he ended up getting thrown in prison from there, and from there he lived his whole life in jail. And she said, well, that was must have been the will of God. And I says, yeah, but, you know, somehow, you know, it's just like, and then I says, well, you know, she's right, because Paul wrote almost all the New Testament from jail. He was on death row. And he was writing everything that God wanted in Holy Script for us to have faith in. Amen. How can we come to the faith that was once delivered to the saints if our life doesn't live this gospel? Excuse me. So what are we living for? As we live this truth that's been presented in our day, what is the believer's life about? Where can we write? What's going to be written of us one day? They had firsthand news. Then when Jesus said, "Oh fools, slow of heart to believe what the prophet said," and beginning at Moses, the main prophet, he came back expounding to them exactly. So you can imagine. If you were standing there listening to Jesus tell you all that Moses had said about him. You know, I mean, Moses, you know, one of the main ones is Jesus. Moses said, there will be a man, a prophet likened unto me. And whoever doesn't believe in this prophet, in this one, he says, will be cut off from the people. So what would happen to us if we took the way of the scribes and Pharisees, of the religious of that day? That's the biggest mistake they made. They were saying, I can see a God of bygone years. I can see a God of 2,000 years ago. I can read a Bible about 2,000 years ago. But I can't believe that anything's happening in the 20th century. I can't believe anything's happening around us and to us and with us. And I see a lot of message believers that are looking back to Brother Branham's life. They're looking back to the years he was here in Georgia. They're looking back to the sermons he preached in Jeffersonville or in Shreveport, Louisiana, and all these places. They look back to these things and they say, I saw God moving in Brother Branham's ministry. But what about moving in your ministry, in your life, in your day where you live? Amen. If God can heal cancer back then, if God can heal cancer in a meeting where Brother Branham is and the Holy Spirit's moving, he said, if you could see what I'm seeing, he says, I see God moving all over the place. And people could believe that and come and reach out and touch the Lord. They could reach out and touch the Lord. So if they could do that there, they could do it today. I may not have the ability to see the cloud that he was looking at. I may not be able to see the pillar of fire that he was looking at. But I know he's here because the Bible says wherever two or three are gathered in his name, there he'll be in the midst of them. Amen. So we can stand and say, look, we know that the same God that was in Brother Brown's meetings is here today. Here to do the same kind of things that were there. Amen. So we're looking we can't look at the scripture as something bygone or something of 2,000 years ago. We can look at it as a reality that we can live for today. Amen. 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 So what happens? Okay. So let me see where I'm at here. Okay. So we look at them, and there's where Jesus says, beginning with Moses and the prophets, He expounded to them all the scriptures concerning himself. Wouldn't you have liked to have been there, hearing modern events made clear by prophecy? You start to see that, hey, it may have been 6 miles. And if you're walking a mile an hour listening to Jesus talk, it might have taken you if you're walking a mile an hour, it'd be a six-hour sermon. They listened to a six-hour sermon, might have gotten what it would have went by quickly as he expressed the very things that God was revealing to them of all the Old Testament scriptures referring to himself. Now, if we could do that today, we'd say all the scriptures that brings us into the picture. You say, how do you bring me into this picture of being a fulfillment of prophecy? So as you look at the ages we're living in, and you look at the things that Paul said, he explained that the Holy Spirit would lead you into all truth. And if the Holy Spirit's going to lead you into all truth, he's got to show you where he's working at in the very hour you're living. Amen? So as the Holy Spirit is revealing the Word of God for your day, you start to recognize, hey, I can grasp this. I can hold on to this. This is real. This is more real than my aches and pains. This is more real than my feeling sick. This is more real than my, I can say that this is, I can say that let's go to Hebrews 1 and 1. Amen. Hebrews 1 and 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto us, unto the fathers, by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. So when you have Jesus manifesting himself in your day and age, you start to realize, hey, he did speak through the prophets in time past, but by speaking to us through his very true word that he's expressed and shown himself, vindicated himself and showed himself in our day and age, we can start looking at a God that's not a bygone age. It's a God of present. It's the God of present time. And this God of present time is here in our midst to do what he promised to do through the scriptures. Amen? Amen? So when we look at the times, let's look at Luke 17:30. Now, in this one, let me mention to you, when Jesus said this in Luke 17:30, Jesus is speaking. We got this here, right? Purple. Luke 17:30. These are scriptures that we know are the reference to this scripture is usually done because it says in the days of the Son of Man, when the Son of Man is revealed. Amen. But let's look at this. Let's go up to the 28th verse. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they did drink, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the days when the Son of Man is revealed. So we stand in a day when we know, with all that's going on in politics and all, we know how we have a very pushy president, and they're saying this guy might just bring on World War III. There's fire and brimstone hanging in the heavens, ready to fall. Okay? But notice, Jesus was referring to a time in Scripture, as it was in the days of Sodom. So if we're going to go back to the days of Lot, the days of Sodom, we know there was a coming judgment. But we think about the coming judgment. We're standing in that kind of thing today. But as we think of the coming judgment, we want to know where the Son of Man is revealed. So if you go back to the scriptures about Lot, let's drop back there to Genesis real quick. It would be in Genesis 19 talks about Lot. And there came two angels unto Sodom at evening, and Lot sat at the gate of Sodom. Okay. Why would Jesus refer anybody to look at a backslidden person? Why would he refer to anybody to, hey, go look at Lot? Why do I want to look at Lot? The Lot's not going to, it's not going to help me much. To learn all about make believers or unbelievers doesn't help me at all. But he still brought you to the time. Look at Genesis. Look here. So you look at Genesis, look there, but then you drop back one chapter, which you should never just take the scripture for what's written. You should always look ahead and look behind, look beyond and see the essence of what's being conversated. Genesis 18 is referring to the Son of Man ministry. Because you look at it under the in the plains of Moriah, those angels came to speak to Abraham. And notice some of the things that angel did. That angel called him by the name that he had given him just a little while before. Abraham was named Abram, not Abraham. But yet he referred to him as Abraham. Sarah was named Sarai. But he turned around and called her Sarah. So he knew that he had already changed their names. Second of all, and he's telling him that I remember my promise. Sarah's going to have a child in 9 months. Sarah laughed in the tent, laughed in her heart. But then when she came back to tell him, I didn't laugh. I didn't laugh out loud. But God said, no, but you did laugh in your heart. Okay? So what happens? Discernment. So the explanation of what you're seeing here in this whole story in Genesis 18 is God coming to visit the real believer, the father of the faith. Now, we're called out from different walks of life. All of us have come to this word of God that's come in our day and age, and this is actually the calling out. I mean, you've got to walk like Abraham. He's the father of the faith, and we are a faithful people. So we've come to the same conclusion that he will visit with us because we're the faithful people. We're the sons and daughters of Abraham through the faith. Paul explained that. So listen to, you know, when you look at the children of Abraham, the true seed of Abraham wasn't through Isaac. I mean, it wasn't through Hagar, but it was through Isaac. And Isaac was faithful, okay? So you start to recognize that the movement of God is moving through the faithful. So when Jesus was referring to the days of Sodom, he was referring to Genesis 18, the father of the faith. Amen? The father of the faith. But he wanted to bring you to something you should pay attention to. Amen? And through the message of this hour, we start to realize these things. You know, we start to realize that, hey, look, Brother Branham referred to the days of Sodom as really the day when that angel came to visit Abraham under the oak, he called it an oak of Moriah, but it's the plains of Moriah, it says here. And he was standing under a tree. I didn't read that it was in. So what happens then? When we look at the scripture, when we look at what's our part to play here, let's go over to Isaiah. Okay, so as Jesus was expounding upon the scripture in Isaiah 53, 1 through 12. Jesus might have been on his way telling them, you know, notice, what was Jesus' ministry? What was my ministry on earth? He says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He says, for he shall grow up. Now we're talking about Jesus. Now he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as root out of dry ground, he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was bruised. Wait a minute. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Did Jesus speak back to them? He not opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the shearers, and as a sheep before the shearers. To the slaughter. Okay, and as a sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. You know, that was one thing that happened to me as in Rosiela. I had a sheep that kept getting out, and he was chasing the neighbor's cows because he was all alone. And sheep are a herd vehicle. They wanna stay together with something else, some other animal. So they're chasing the neighbor's cows. The neighbor's cows are scared to death of him. So he was running them all over the place, and they're going to have calves. So he didn't want them to, you know, lose their calves. So he came to me and he says, you go get your sheep out of my yard. So here I am running after that sheep. I have a horse. Why didn't I go get the horse? But I was running after the sheep. And finally, sheep got so worn out that he'd lay down, and I'd put the rope on him and bring him back to my fence. No sooner did I bring him back to my fence, look at the whole fence, make sure it's all patched up, he was out there with the cows again. Oh, gosh. So I ran and ran and ran after him. And, you know, you guys that do track and stuff like that, that running does pay off, by the way, because I was running like that, and I ran all that, well, big part of the summer I was running after that crazy sheep. Finally, I said, no, I'm going to butcher him. So I went to go butcher him, and the crazy thing, I'm sawing away at his neck with the knife, and he's quiet as can be. Not a little murmur, not a mumble, nothing. Just laying there, letting me cut his throat. I says, boy, tears started coming to my eyes because, you know, I saw the scripture says that he was like a sheep before the shepherd, before the shearers opened not his mouth. And I says, man, I'm not shearing him. I'm killing him. And he didn't make a noise. Just the gurgling of the blood coming out. That was it. I said, my goodness. I said, Lord. So nevertheless, you start to see that the scripture comes out perfectly. After that, the neighbors came and invited me to a game of football. After running all that way, they invited me to a game of football. And I don't know what was wrong with those guys, but they were all moving in slow motion. I'd see them coming for my legs. I could jump right over them. But let me tell you, though, the scriptures written of him were so perfect. So perfect. There's no doubt that you can say, hey, these things are exact. The scripture doesn't make a mistake. Now, for example, when I was reading, you know, reading in the scripture where it says that, that Jesus came down from Mount Transfiguration, and the disciples came and said, well, didn't the scribes and Pharisees say that you were to come first? That Elijah was supposed to come first before your coming? And Jesus says, yeah, Elijah's supposed to come. Matthew. Let me see, I got it here someplace. Mount Transfiguration, Matthew 17:19. Oh, I guess brother's not keeping up with me. Okay. But he said, Matthew 17:11. 17:9. So there at Mount Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John comes down and said, didn't Elijah supposed to come first? And you'll notice in the scripture, he says, Elijah is going to come first and restore all things. But he says, they did to let's go over there. I'll find it here. Matthew 17. Here it is. I use ribbons to mark my places. Okay. Elijah shall truly come first. This is Jesus speaking at verse 11. Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall come first and restore all things. Well, remember, John the Baptist didn't restore all things. Okay. So John the Baptist didn't restore all things. So, and he says, but I say unto you, that Elijah is come already. Now that's talking about John the Baptist. Okay? So there's a John the Baptist that's going to restore. I mean, there's a Elijah that's going to restore all things. That's the scripture that Malachi 4 and 5 referred to. 5 and 6. Malachi 4, 5 and 6 referred to. But I say unto you, Elijah is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. So likewise shall the Son of Man suffer of them. So watch. So John the Baptist got beheaded, and he said the Son of Man will likewise die, so he was going to go to the cross. Yes, we know that. And we know that John the Baptist is referred to as Malachi 3. So you start to look at how scriptures work out. When you start to do a little study on John the Baptist, you find out that when John the Baptist was going to be born, the angel Gabriel came to Zacharias and said unto him, he's coming in the spirit and power of Elijah. Wow. He's coming in the spirit and power of Elijah, but he says, and he's to restore, he's to restore the hearts. Restore, okay. Let's go over there. I think that's St. Luke 1:11. That's purple 2. St. Luke 1:11. Okay. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing in the right hand side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah saw him, and he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer has been heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of our Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." We look at Elizabeth and Mary's greeting to each other. The baby leaped for joy inside her womb, received the Holy Ghost. "And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah." Now watch this phrase: "to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children." Where's that scripture at? Malachi 4, 5, and 6. But it's only half the scripture. See, that half the scripture is talking about John the Baptist. But the other half of the scripture is talking about an Elijah to come. Amen? Amen. That will restore all things. Amen. When the judgment is about to strike. Amen. You know, I was telling you about Sodom. You know, before that judgment strikes, there's going to be an Elijah to come at the end time. Amen. Before his second coming. Amen. Amen. So we start to see that scripture doesn't make a mistake. No, there's no place the scripture makes a mistake. It lines up perfectly all the way through. Amen. As he talked to Zechariah, as he talked in Mount Transfiguration, as the reference to John the Baptist talked about himself, saying, "I'm the fulfillment of I'm the fulfillment of Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, 3 and 5. So you see, John the Baptist himself referred to exactly where, did I have that right? Yes, Isaiah 40 and 3. See, so you start to see that the details where God is trying to bring a people to recognize where they're living. Amen. And how they're living. Amen. The road to Emmaus, you might say, well, that would have been wonderful to know the signs of the time. But when we stand here and start to look at modern events, amen, that are made clear by what God has revealed in his word, by what God has revealed through his messenger, by what God has revealed through his people, by what God is revealing through our ministers that have the fivefold ministry, it's going to bring you to a realization of how close we are to his coming. Amen? Amen? And so what are we looking at? Flashing red light of his coming. If you look at that, you start to recognize that certain things are going on. Population is getting too big. The world can't handle the population. They're saying we're going to, if we could continue on with a population explosion, we're going to stop being able to produce the food, especially with climate change. We're not going to be able to produce the food that all the population is going to need. The ungodly attitude that the people are coming into with with the internet and the coming of a cell phone and all these things, you'll start to see that there's become such an ungodly attitude where you can start to see Satan's Eden is beginning to push into everybody, even trying to push into the church. So you start to see that Satan's Eden's coming on. Sodom and Gomorrah, homosexuality, you can see that particular thing, it's running rampant. Abortion. People don't want to have children, and if they do have children, if they get pregnant, they're killing the children before they're born.
So simple. The morning after pill. You can just take that and abort the baby. So what are they doing? They're making it simple as just a pill to take. Amen. Politics. You know, you can see where politics is leading us. Our economy. You know, what I thought I was going to have a decent retirement, with it laying in the stock market, makes it look like, where's my retirement? No retirement no more. So what are we doing? We're going to have to work for the rest of our lives? I don't know. But I do know God's coming. The Lord's judgment is hanging over. World War III, Iran, Hamas, Israel, all Hezbollah, the Hopis, all these things are signs of the time telling you that, hey, we're coming close to the coming of the Lord. Looking for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. We look at Israel. Look, you know, Brother Bram always said that Israel was a timepiece. If you look at the book of Daniel, it tells you it's a timepiece. It gives you more or less where we're at living in today. Because if you look at the book of Daniel, it goes to telling you from this time to this time where the Messiah was here. From this time to this time, the return to Jerusalem was there. It gives you time, a time pattern. And you can look at that time pattern and say, hey, look, we're at the end of it. Amen. There's not the coming of the Lord and the rise up of the Antichrist and all these things. They're on their way. Amen. They're on their way. So what are we looking at? We look at the big pull for AI. ChatGPT, wonderful. It speaks way better than Siri. It speaks way better than your telephone questions. You ask the internet and it gives you, but this one here can put together everything. It seems great. AI seems great. But guess what? They're installing those things in robots. They're installing them in self-driving cars. They're installing them in the weapon. And the weapons will be able to fly through the air and say, is this a friendly or a foe? And it makes the decision. Not some man in the background saying, hey, I got my sights there. Is this an enemy tank or is it a friendly tank? No, the AI's got to make that decision. You going to trust AI to do that? They say, well, it's better than human. Hey, self-driving cars drive better than humans. Does it really? I don't know. I'm not ready to trust them. So what are we looking at? Satellite lasers. They call it the Space Force. They got to have control of space. They got to have control of satellite weaponry. Well, guess who's going to have, if you look at your scriptures, guess who's going to have control of satellite weaponry? The beast. He'll call fire down from heaven. Amen. You look at the things, if you look at scriptures, weaponry, the weaponry, space weapons, and of course, electromagnetic weapons, things that could just knock out complete power grid over the whole world. You know, these things are really, they're coming to reality now. And you start to look at judgment sitting upon the world. And you say plagues and things like that could happen? Yeah. What do you think when they can make it in a laboratory, they can make it spread anywhere. So judgment is hanging over this world. But by knowing the events and the prophecies that are given, you start to recognize where you're living. And as you recognize where you're living, you get closer to God. You know, I've watched a lot of, I watch Israel news. And there's a couple of Christian Jews that are trying to tell you the it's called TBN news. You say, well, that's all a slant from the Israel side. Yeah, but you know, it's strange to see Israelites that believe that Jesus was the Messiah. You know? And they're telling the news, and I say, well, but you know what they're saying? They're saying, pray for us. Pray for Israel. Pray for Jerusalem. He says, we know that Christ is the Messiah. and he's got his hand on Israel. So we start to look, and I look at that. I look at it as a sign. Look at Israel. It's a sign of the time. You know? And you start to realize that they're saying, we're fighting a spiritual battle. This is not altogether just guns and weapons and all this stuff. It's not just that. It's not just bombs and stuff like that. It's a spiritual battle that we're fighting. And we're fighting in the sight of good, they said. So you start to see, look, the bride, when you look at where we're living, we look at the bride. The Bible says the bride has made herself ready. The coming of the Lord is at hand. He knows who you are. He knows what you're fighting for. He knows where you're standing and what you're coming up against. But you know, like you say, our fight is not against flesh and blood. And you know, even though at Brother Branham's day, it was really strongly against denomination, it's not so much against denomination anymore. Our fights become against worldliness, selfishness. The selfishness that's taking over this planet, it becomes that every little kid that's growing up is saying, what's in it for me? I want it. I want everything. I want it. It's mine. It's mine. I don't want to share. Where is this coming from? You know? If I can't have it, Abel shouldn't have it. You know? You know, you could say that, hey, look. You look at Cain and Abel and you start to see that, hey, the attitude that the world is coming into, it's just plain, simple worldliness. In St. John 15:19, it says, If ye were of the world would love its own. Amen. St. John 2:15, it says, 1 John 2:15. The Lord said, if a man love the world, the love of the Father or the love of God is not in him. And then St. John 15:19, it says, if ye were of the world would love you, love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Amen. So the world's the biggest pressure against this bride. Against the, it's against our youth. A lot of people are losing their youth just to the world. And the reason they're losing their youth to the world is because, you know, sometimes we're not giving them the best example. The best example is living by faith. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet as we get ready to close. Amen. Take a look at what's happened in the last few years. It's no longer, I would be happy if my siblings and my would at least become a good Baptist. Yeah. I'd be happy there. I mean, they could function. But the world's tearing them up. The lust of the world's tearing them up. Amen. Drugs, alcohol, the world's just, they're losing their minds. And what are they gaining? I'd be happy if they would just seek God and just be a good denomination person. Or even just be functional. But they can't even function if they don't have Christ. And the whole world needs Christ. Amen? Amen? But events made clear by prophecy, you start to recognize the day we live in. Without Jesus, we're all lost. Amen. Let's pray. Our dear and precious Lord and Heavenly Father, we're so grateful, Lord God, for the manifestation of your kingdom coming, Lord God. And Lord Jesus, we pray, O Lord, that you be merciful. Open our understanding to your holy word, Lord God. Help us, Lord Jesus, to recognize all the things that you've done that are bringing us to a place where we can see the truth that's been manifested before us. That your ministry, Lord God, would help us to see the power of your resurrection, the manifestation of your glory coming in our midst, Lord God. Lord Jesus, we love you. We pray you bless each and every one, Lord God. Anoint each and every one. Fill each and every one of us, Lord God. Help us, Lord, to serve you with all that's in us. As we pray in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Brother, amen. Brother Wayne.
Turn it on. Awesome in this place, Abba Father. Enjoy the message, then let's reap the benefits. Let's see what God has for us. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. Thought about those people, Cleopas and the ones. They walked with Jesus, but they didn't know who he was until right at the very end of their walk. Had you rather been them to see him personally, or you'd rather live today where we know who he is, we know where he's at, and we know the word of God was sent to us. We don't have to guess. Our heart should burn within us all the time, not just on a journey going down a road for 6 miles.
Praise mighty God.
Sing it to him. If you have a need.
You are awesome in this place, mighty God.
What an awesome time to live in.
And you are awesome in this place.
Greater than even when Jesus was walking on the earth.
Abba Father.
This is the ending of all things.
You are worthy of our praise.
And he saved the best for last.
You are lives
we
raised.
And our heart burns all the time
awesome
to know more about him.
Place, mighty God.
Sing it to him one more time.
Oh, you are awesome
yes,
in this place.
Mighty God. Thank you, Lord.
You are awesome in this place. Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God.
Amen. Let's give our brother a good hand. Always love Brother Daniel and Sister Debbie coming to visit. And we sure appreciate them. And they just don't stay long enough. But we sure appreciate them coming and being with us. They just come to see us. I don't know that they come to see Rachel and Timbo, but I know they come to see us. So we always love him coming here with us and speaking for us and pouring his heart out. Amen. And we sure, as I said before, I thought about that one time. You know, they were standing with Jesus, walking with the man, in a glorified body. All right, this is after the resurrection, right? He was in a glorified body. He was walking with them down the road. They didn't have a clue who he was. And he started at Moses, something they were familiar with, because there was not a New Testament at the time. They were familiar with the Old Testament, though. They knew that Torah. And he took them and just walked them right down and showed them who he was. And it still took them a while to see, because he had then show them a sign. He showed them a sign, and when he showed him a sign of breaking the bread and got them in there where they were communing together, they found out who he was. what was so awesome is they let he disappeared out from away from them. He's not going to disappear from me and you. He said, I'll be with you, even in you, till the end of the age. So I'd rather be in this age. I'd rather have the Lord Jesus inside of me instead of having him walk beside me. It'd be wonderful. We're going to walk with him for an eternity, but now what about right now? What about today? Today's the day of salvation. Today's the day he wanted that day. Brother John, when he was hanging on a cross, we were on his mind. But now we're coming down to the last part of the names. There's no more names of church ages. This is it. So I promise you, he's going to call the last name, and when he does, we're getting out of here. We're going to leave this place, sure. As Brother Aaron sang at Dad's funeral, you know, some call it heaven, I call it home. This ain't home then. This is not home. We're going to a physical place in a few minutes that you call your house, but it's not your home.
Right.
Your home is where Jesus is.
Amen.
And he's in your heart now, but you're going to get to live for an eternity. Praise God. You love the Lord? This weekend, remember 11 o'clock at the park. It's where we went. We always have our functions. Starting at 11, continuing through the day. And remember that Sunday now, after we have our service here, have communion and foot washing, Mike will be back with us at 4 o'clock at my house. For those of you that have not practiced shooting, you're sure welcome to come down, and we'll continue that. But remember all these announcements coming up, special meetings and all. Also, we got someone that's going to be leaving us for a little while, and she's going overseas. Sister Bella's going to take a trip, so we're going to ask her to come up here, and we're going to pray for traveling mercies for her. She's going to go through Europe and parts unknown. So we're going to give you a prayer cloth, and we're going to say a prayer for you. Okay? I wouldn't want my kid going somewhere without a prayer cloth. I promise you that. Not even to the house, much less across the ocean. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'd bless our sister, Lord. That she'll take Jesus Christ wherever she goes, Lord, and presents it to the people. Father, I pray that, Lord, that she'll have a wonderful time. Nothing will harm or hurt, Lord. She won't get sick. And, Lord, she'll have a wonderful time in you, Lord, and give her a safe trip back, Lord. Be with the parents, Father. I know that they're going off too, Lord. We'll pray for them in a little while, but our sister's leaving Saturday. And we pray that you'd just be with her, Lord, and take her in your hands.
Yes.
And all things will be well, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We'll miss you. Return. But if you get an opportunity, just say a prayer for her while she's gone. Say a prayer for her. She's been in another country, and I know she's used to traveling, but that's a bad, cruel world out there, and it's big. But we got a bigger God.
Amen.
We got a bigger God that can be with her where parents can't be. He'll be right there with her. He said he'd be right there in you till the end of the world. So we'll just keep her in prayer until she gets back. How long have you been gone? A week? Yeah, okay. So just pray for her, and pray for the parents. Having a kid being gone, so just pray for them. So all minds clear, let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for the word we've heard today, Lord. Father, we know one thing's for sure, that as our brother said, your word is absolutely just dovetails. Every time we read a scripture or bring a scripture to light, Father, it just dovetail with the rest of the Bible. That's because you wrote it, and you're perfect. You can't write anything else. You can't make a mistake. And Lord, we put our confidence in that we'll hear from you through scripture, but it has to be spoken by human lips. So thank you for bringing our brother with us today, Lord, and we love him. We appreciate his ministry, Lord, and we appreciate his wonderful spirit and his wife, Lord, and the family's always been dear to us. We pray that you'd be with them, Lord, as they travel back, I think, in a few more days. They're going back, Lord, to New Mexico, Lord. I pray that you'd be with them, Lord. Cover them by your blood and give them safe journey too, Father, as they come back, Lord, and visit, Lord, whenever they can, Father. I thank you for all these things you've given us, Lord. Thank you for giving us a fivefold ministry, Lord, that can grab your mind, Lord, and speak it, Father. I pray that you'd bless each one. Heal the sick. Be with the ones that are traveling, Lord, somewhere else, Father, and back. I pray that you'd be with them. Until we come back together, Lord, on Sunday, I pray that you'd bless each one. Give each one a special blessing, Lord, the rest of this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. See you Saturday.